Well, today I'm going to preach a message that I've entitled Thrive. And I'm going to ask you a series of questions today, and just for the purpose of causing you to think a little bit and ask questions. But these questions really are from my heart, and I believe the Lord was the one that gave me this message. So here's the first question I'm going to ask you today. Is it possible to thrive in our current world? Now, I want you to think, just engage yourself as your teacher would say to you when you were in school. They would say, I want you to put on your thinking cap this morning. How many of you still remember how to do that? Now, the definition of thrive is this. It's to flourish. It's to grow. And it also means to increase. The idea is of that of trees and plants that flourish in a good soil. Now, many of you can relate to that. It's like the springtime when everything is budding and when it is flourishing and when it's growing. So here's another question for you. Is it possible to flourish in our current economy? Think about that for just a moment. I want you to be real with yourself today. I want you to be real with what's going on in your heart, whatever you're thinking about this. Here's another question, and this is a very general question, but I say it this way. Is it possible to thrive amidst all the craziness that we are dealing with every day in our lives? I don't need a show of hands this morning, but I know that some of you are dealing with some things, and I'm using that term very loosely, crazy things. Things that seem like they're out of control and that you don't have any say-so in. The question is, can we thrive? Can we flourish? And can we grow? And can we increase in the time that we live in? By the way, I want to say, I don't believe any of you are an accident. I don't believe any of you came into this earth just by, you know, some strange thing. You were planned by God. And if we all recognize that the time we live in is ordained of God, Psalms 139 declares that to us. And by the way, Psalms 139 declares that God's thinking a lot of really good things about us today. Is it possible to flourish in the day and time that we live in? And I want to answer that question because I believe the answer is a resounding and a great big yes. Yes, we can. Now, when God gave me this message, and lately He's been doing that. I don't know why He's speaking to me like this. He'll give me one word. And then around that one word, He wants me to build this message. He gave me this one word, thrive. And I said, now, and along with, I knew what He was leading up to. And the question, can you thrive? He personalized it to me. Can you thrive in this time that you are living in? Can you, David? Can you thrive? I've learned when God asks you a question, get ready. You are being set up by God, and you want to be very cautious and very careful how you answer because God knows what He's about to say to you. And I said, well, yes, Lord, but I need some reinforcement. Give me some Scripture. That's what I do. I believe if it's in Scripture, it's true. And the Lord immediately reminded me of Psalm 1. And this morning, what I want to do to you, and if you have a Bible this morning, I want you to take your Bible with me, and I'm going to begin reading Psalm 1. While you're turning there, I'm going to pray a prayer over us, and we're going to believe God for a word today. We're going to believe God is going to speak to us today on this topic of thriving. Can we flourish? Can we increase? Can we grow in the time that we live in? Psalm 1, beginning in verse 1, Father, I ask You to bless Your people. I ask You to bless the reading of Your Word. Father, let this message live in our hearts. Let it become real. Let it become our counsel today. I pray in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said a great big amen. It reads this way. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Verse 3 says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Verse 4 says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now in this psalm, the writer uses contrast. And he contrasts the righteous versus the unrighteous, or the unrighteous versus the righteous. You can see that through the entire psalm. Verse 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. What I want to do today, I want to share four things with you out of this psalm that I trust will be an encouragement to you, and will be something that God uses to encourage you and convince you that whatever you are experiencing right now, that you can thrive in the midst of it. You can grow, you can increase, and that you can flourish. Number one, if you're going to thrive, you have to make sure that you are receiving counsel / advice from the right source. Now, something that we may not be aware of or realize, you and I are receiving counsel and we are receiving advice every single day of our lives. Some of it people give to us when we don't want it. Sometimes we're receiving counsel just by virtue of who our friends are. For example, when I talk about receiving counsel or advice, you got to think about your friends. Folks, our friends are who they are. What about our coworkers? Our media? We all could get on that bandwagon and say, oh yeah, we're receiving all kinds of counsel and advice from the media. But then again, we may not realize how much counsel and advice we are receiving from the media. And by the way, not all media is fair and balanced. What about social media? What about Facebook? What about texting and Twittering today? Which is, I mean, it's the rage today. It is the way that people are communicating. It is the way that people are interacting. What we don't always realize is that through that, we are receiving counsel and advice and direction in our lives. Now, I want you to notice the progression in this psalm, because there is a progression here that is mentioned, and I believe you can apply it to the righteous and to the unrighteous as well. Notice this, it says, he who walks not, who stands in the path, or who sits in the seat. There is a progression there. Now, notice this, he says, the righteous man who does not do these things is blessed. He is happy. He is fulfilled. He is prosperous. Now, some of you are saying, Pastor, I don't know where you're going with this, but I don't know how you expect us to get to the place where we only receive counsel from God and from the righteous. Well, I'm going to show you how to do that this morning. Notice the progression there. And I want you to think of it as you're just going through life when it comes to counsel and when it comes to advice. You walk by a situation or a group of people. If you're not very careful, the next thing you do is you will stand, and then you will begin to listen to the counsel and to the advice that is given. And then if you're really not careful, if you're not listening to God's counsel, you're not receiving His encouragement, the next thing you do is you take a seat and you sit down among the ungodly. You sit down among the unrighteous and you begin to receive their counsel. And sometimes this can happen and we don't even realize what has happened. Folks, we're being counseled every day. And I'm not saying that we're to do away with any of these things. In fact, I am pro social media today. I believe in it because God has spoken to my heart about it. I mean, it's the way people are communicating, and the church needs to get on board with it. But we need to be very careful, because what we receive is how we're going to live. I've got two comments I want to make here, because they are so true. If you're going to be a follower of Christ, It's going to be, in our day and age, it's going to be like you are going upstream when it comes to proper counsel. How many of you have realized that this world as a whole is not going in the direction of God? In fact, if you're going to walk with God, you're going to feel like you're alone a lot. And some of you do. And then the devil, if you're not careful, is going to convince you that something is bad wrong with you because you feel so out of place. Let me tell you, it is the hour that we are living in. If you're going to be a Christ follower, you're going to feel like that you are going upstream. Again, it's kind of like the salmon when they make their journey from the ocean back up to the place of giving birth to those new salmon and laying those eggs. You're going to feel like that a lot of days. But I am going to tell you how to overcome, and I am going to tell you today how to get things done in God's way. I'm going to tell you how to flourish because I believe I've heard from God on this. Is it possible to thrive in the world that we live in? No, I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm not talking about yesterday. I'm talking about today, right now. The reality that you are living, is it possible to thrive where you work? Is it possible for your marriage to thrive? Is it possible that you can see good and increase and growth come in this day and hour? I say yes, and I'd like to hear God's people say they believe it as well by saying amen. Amen. Number two, this promise talks about the proper counsel. Verse 2 says this about the righteous. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now the word here, delight, means to take pleasure in. Now I want to just for a moment, I want to talk to you from my heart. Do you, be honest with yourself, folks. This is an hour to be honest with yourself. Do you take pleasure in God's word? Do you delight in it? And I don't ask that question to condemn anyone. I can understand someone who is a new believer and really doesn't understand what the Word says. And maybe when you read it, you don't understand how everything fits together. I can understand that. But where I have a problem is with believers who have been believers for 20 or 30 years. But really, if we were to be honest, and I'm not trying to condemn you, that they really don't like the Word. They don't really understand it. Folks, let me just say this, and I've said this before. The more familiar you become with God's Word and you start living out God's Word, the good days, the bad days, when you don't want to, let me tell you what I've learned. The more you do that, you do learn to delight in the Word. You do learn to take pleasure in God's Word. But the problem is there's everything around us today making its best effort to crowd out the Word. Folks, listen. He says that for the righteous, it is he who delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. The word meditate means to ponder by talking to yourself. Now, I talk to myself every now and then, but sometimes it's not always good talk. And that's when I know that I need to go and meditate on the Word of the Lord some more. I need to hear some good preaching. I need to be in a small group where they're preaching some good things or they're encouraging some good things. Meditate means to ponder and to go over it in your mind. Let me go ahead and tell you, folks, if you're going to thrive today, you've got to learn to love God's Word, and you've got to learn what it means to meditate in it. And to me, if I'm going to meditate on good news, that means for me I have to do it the first thing in the day. It doesn't matter when you do it, just as long as you're doing it. But we need to learn what it means to delight in the law of the Lord, and we need to learn what it means to meditate in the Word of the Lord day and night. Now, when he talks about day and night here, what the psalmist is writing about is consistency. There needs to be consistency in your life regarding the Word of God. In other words, it has to be frequent enough that God's counsel overpowers the counsel of this world. Did you hear what I said? Some of you are thinking, I got to get up in the morning, I've got to read, and you use that term in your mind, I've got to do this, and then I got to read it at night. If I don't do that, I guess I'm not going to be an overcomer. He's talking about frequency. He's talking about knowing the Word of God well enough that when circumstances come, you may get knocked down for a season, but you stand back up and you don't stand on what the world news is saying. You don't stand on what anything, but what the Word of God is saying to you and to me. And we know what the Bible says. The righteous are knocked down 7 times, but they get up every time. Listen, let me tell you, the unrighteous are not getting back up. They got knocked down and they're staying down. And they need some folks who know how to get up and how to bring them up. Notice the promise in this psalm. I want you to listen very carefully today. Verse 3 says this about the person who will meditate in the Word of the Lord day and night. Here's what he says. He says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You remember my analogy in the beginning where I talked about trees that are planted in good soil and plants that are planted in good soil? That's what this whole idea is about. Notice that it says that brings forth its fruit in its season and whose leaf also shall not wither. And I love the last part of this verse. It says, whatever he does shall prosper. Let me say it again. For the person who will hear what God is saying and will receive God's counsel and will meditate on that counsel or on that advice day and night, in other words, frequently, you're going to be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. And when I was younger, much younger, I loved to hunt. In fact, I loved to go down in the woods and hunt things. And I always was taught by my grandfather, if you want to go hunting, you want to find where the most wildlife was. And, you know, this is going around the world today, and some of them may not even know what this is, but I love to squirrel hunt. My grandfather taught me how to squirrel hunt. And I won't tell you how my grandmother prepared them, because I would lose you. But the old folks had a way of preparing squirrel. Now, all of you could relate to fried squirrel, but probably not the kind of stew that my grandmother made. I'm just going to stop. Wisdom dictates that I stop. But let me tell you, it was good to me. Some of you are going, hey, we know, Pastor. We know exactly what you're talking about. For the sake of our audience, I will not go into detail. But I loved to hunt, and I would go down into this bottomland. The bottomland is where the rivers and the creeks flow. And there it is on the edge of these bottoms is where the trees, these beautiful white oak and pin oak trees would grow, and they would grow very, very high. It made hunting a little more difficult, but guess what? Those trees had the kind of fruit on it that the squirrels wanted. So where did I go when I wanted to hunt, when I wanted to have a successful day? I went to the bottom land. And there you would find what you were looking for. Notice he says he brings forth its fruit when it should. I know all of us know this. God wants us bearing fruit. He wants us bearing fruit in our lives. And you know what else I know? We want to do that. We want to bear fruit. We want to bear fruit for God. I know what the people of God want. I know what I want. I know what God wants for us. But sometimes we wonder, hey, what is it? What is going on? Why can't I bear any fruit? What is the problem? Well, certainly there are seasons, folks. There are winter seasons, there are fall seasons where you're not going to be bearing any fruit. But when springtime rolls around, guess what? The buds come and the leaves come. And guess what? You're getting ready to bear some fruit. How many of you know in life? Let's be real, folks. There are seasons of winter in life. Even for the believer who's doing everything right, who's meditating in the Word of God, there will be winter seasons. There will be fall seasons. But praise the Lord, there are springtime. There is summertime that comes forth in all of our lives. It's a spiritual truth. And I like this when it says, whose leaf also shall not wither. None of us want to be withering people. It's not enjoyable when you go through a season where you feel like you're being attacked on every side. You feel like you want to wither, but guess what? You're not going to do it. And as I stated when I read it, here's the final part of this verse, and I love it. It says, whatever he does shall prosper. Now, I'll just be real honest with you today, folks. I want to prosper. I want to prosper in my health. I want my children to prosper. I want my business to prosper. I want everything that I do to prosper. Anybody with me this morning? Now, God's telling us this morning how to receive His counsel. He's telling us how we can thrive, how we can flourish, how we can grow and increase in this time. And I want you to notice something. God does not put a condition of time and culture on this promise. And I want to say to those of you who are watching this by television or on the internet, wherever you're at in Asia, Russia, or Mexico, I want you to know that this is not an American message. This is a message designed for all people of all times and all cultures. And I think we ought to praise God for it. Amen? There is no condition of time or people put on this message. And I want to tell you, God reminded me of this as He put this on my heart. Now the third thing that I want to share with you, and I'll just take a moment, here's the reality of bad counsel. This is a reality. And folks, as we are seeing our world implode, let me tell you what's going on in the Middle East. All these problems that we're hearing about, nuclear problems, all this is the implosion that God talked about that would happen at the end time, that Paul talked about would happen. These are all just signs of the times that we live in. And we're seeing society all around us implode. I heard about some things this week that absolutely broke my heart and have been a challenge for me, because I recognize that now we're seeing, and I don't want to give you a bad news message because I do have good news for you today, but folks, let me tell you, I will go ahead and be tough on you a little bit. We better get the counsel of God in our lives. We better know what God says when the problems come, because if we don't, we're not going to stand, because verse 4 and verse 5 says this. Here's the contrast. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Who wants to be like chaff? How many of you know what chaff is? Chaff is just the stuff that was no good, that was wrapped around the seedling that they had to beat off, and then they threw it up in the air with a winnowing fork and it just blows away. Who wants to be chaff? Listen, we can take God's counsel this morning or we can reject it. God says the ungodly are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, in verse 5, He says, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Wow. And number 4, the contrast of those who receive God's counsel versus those who don't. Listen to what the verse says. It says, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I want you to hear God's heart this morning. And I don't want to just come and give you a little speech and a little talk today, but I want every one of you to know that God knows the path that you're on. And I don't mean that in a negative or a bad way. God knows exactly what you are going through. You don't feel like you're doing everything right. Guess what? Neither is the preacher, and neither is anyone else in this room or people hearing this across the nations. But God knows the way of the godly. Are you righteous through Jesus? Is Jesus your Lord? Is He your Savior? Have you put your faith in Him, and are you serving Him as best you know how and by the grace and the mercy of God? Then you are a godly person. And I want you to turn the recording off this morning that says, no, this couldn't apply to me. I must fit in the category of the unrighteous, because, and we get out our list, and we're so good about doing this, of all the things we did wrong this last week. And I'm not preaching greasy grace. I'm preaching reality. Thank God for a Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave His life for us, that we could be godly and that we can be the righteousness of God. I believe God deserves a praise this morning. It says, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly. Notice it doesn't say that He didn't know their way. It just says that they shall perish. So my question today to you and to me and to all of us, is it possible to thrive today? Is it possible to flourish? Is it possible to grow? Is it possible to increase in this climate that we live in? God's Word says that we can. And beloved, that's what God wants for you. And if God has come to you and He's whispered some things and says, we really need to make a change here, God only has your best interest at hand. How many of you know that? When God comes and says, we need to make some changes. When God comes and says, I need you to get up in the morning hours, or whenever He tells you, whenever you and God work this out, I need you to spend more time with me. It's never because God has this big ego that must be satisfied. It's not that God has this chauvinist attitude that says, I'm God and my little people will serve me. Nothing could be further from our God's mind. It's that God wants you to thrive. God wants you to flourish. And God wants you to grow. And God wants you to increase in this hour. So what needs to happen? We need to make sure that the counsel and the advice that we're receiving is coming from God's counsel. Yes, all of us have friends who are not Christ followers. And that's a good thing. As long as your friends are not leading you instead of you leading them. When our friends start leading us down a pathway that we know is not good for us, guess what? We need to find some new friends. But it's good to have friends who are not righteous, because how can you reach them? Paul said, how can I get to know someone? How can I become what I need to become if I don't have any unrighteous friends? But you need to make sure that you filter the counsel that they are giving you with godly counsel. This applies to all of us, young and old alike. And I want to say it again, I am so pro social media today. I like Twittering. I like texting. Some of you, listen, let me just stop and say this kind of as a side note. Some of you kind of have an attitude against technology. The church and the people that does not understand technology today will not flourish. You can resist it. You can dig your heels in and say, hey, because I'm going to tell you something. God has challenged me on it. And He has stretched me like I've never been stretched before. Nothing wrong with those things, but you need to make sure that whatever you're doing when you're Facebooking, whenever you're Twittering, or whatever you're doing, however you're communicating, that you make sure that you're not letting the unrighteous counsel get into your spirit and become your guy. Don't let the first thing you do when you get up in the morning is get on Facebook. Yes. By the way, some of us are a little older. I thought I was doing good when I learned how to send emails. Do you realize how old school email is now to the younger generation? They E what? Email. It's old school. Some of you think, man, I'm doing good. I get up and I return all my emails. And the young people are saying, what's an email? Do you know, and I want to make sure, I really had intended to check on this before I came. I heard this statistic recently at a preacher's gathering. And I believe it's accurate. The average young person now, in 1 month's time, will text 10,000 texts a month. Think about that. Some of you, now some of you who are a little older, saying, what's texting? It's the new form of communication. 10,000 texts in a month. Hey, and if you don't believe it, listen. I saw a lady, we were shopping the other day. I really do try to go with the stride. Now, I try not to get all upset about it, but God bless this lady. I don't know, we were coming out of some department store. She had bags in every hand, and she had a phone on her shoulder, and she was doing this and talking on the phone, carrying four bags out. She doesn't see us. She doesn't see the people around her. See, some of you got an attitude about this. You can get an attitude if you want to. This is the world we live in. Can we thrive in this kind of world? She's socializing, but just not with you and me. And I'm not saying that's a good thing. But folks, here's the message today. It's thrive. Can you and I thrive in this culture that we live in? Can we thrive in the world? It's all around us every day. Can we thrive when we're hearing that our economy is in danger and is in peril, can we thrive? I believe we can. Do you notice God didn't say anything about whether or not the economy was good or bad or what was going on? Folks, the Word of God, as you're standing, says this. The Word of God is eternal. So I declare many times over today, yes, we can thrive. Yes, we will thrive. And yes, we are going to thrive. I do want to pray for you now because I know some of you are in the midst of a trial. You're in the midst of a tribulation. I know some of you are weary. I've been through a few things in my life. I know what spiritual weariness is and what emotional weariness is. But more than that, God knows. And I'm going to declare, and I'm declaring it now, that you will thrive in whatever situation you're in. Can I pray for you this morning? Folks, open your heart up to Jesus and let Him touch you. Let Him encourage you. Whatever it is, it's probably on your mind right now as you're thinking about life and what's going on in your life. And I want to pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that Your grace and Your strength will be with all of Your people. Lord, those who are viewing us today on the internet, and we'll see this on television. I pray, God, that Your strength and Your grace will be with them as well as this congregation. Father, we want to thrive. Let me see the hands of those of you that say, I want to thrive, Pastor. I want to prosper. How many of you would say with me, I want everything that I do to prosper? Let me see your hands. Father, we declare that it's going to happen. Lord, I declare in this place, over men like Neil Cryer. Neil, I declare you're going to thrive in your health in Jesus' name. Because that's what you want and that's what you desire. And I declare, listen, I just want to do this. I declare over the businesses that are represented here this morning. I want to declare the prosperity and the growth and the increase of God in these businesses that are represented here. Amen. I declare the prosperity of God over every family that is represented here today. Father, we need your blessing because we want to thrive. And Lord, we declare what your word says, that if we meditate on your word day and night, that we will flourish and we will prosper. We'll be like the trees that are planted by the rivers of water. And for this, we give you praise. We give you honor. I want you to give God the best praise now that you've given Him all day. Come on, let's give God a praise for victory. Amen.